This is the Friends of History Debating Society. I'm John Batchelor with Jeremy Sackis in New South Wales. You will recall, last week and the week before, Jeremy introduced me to the magpie, which is a friendly bird 40 weeks a year. And then it's madness. The magpie breeding season leads the magpie to attack anything near its nesting grounds. And who knows where that is? You can be walking down a street and suddenly you've seen Star Wars, and you know how Luke Skywalker and I think it's C-3PO fly around the Death Star and swoop in and finally blow it up. That's a magpie. But magpie has a little buddy who doesn't work with the magpie. In fact, it's not a magpie, but it looks like one. Jeremy, introduce the plover, and it's a very sinister-looking bird. I thought magpies look kind of like chubby crows, but the plover looks like a dedicated Darth Vader cadet.
Yes, John, this is a truly evil creature, John. The Australian plover is one of those birds that, if you can imagine, it doesn't even look like any other bird. It sort of looks a little bit like a chicken on sticks, because when they actually stretch their legs out, they sort of almost look like mini flamingos. They have these very spindly sticks for legs, but they have this face that just has this yellow beak that is just absolutely menacing. And what the plovers do is, generally, they are one of these birds that are very strategic. So you'll see plovers, you know, in the distance, and you walk up on them, and basically they will not react. They'll just continue doing their own business, just wander, you know, walking along the ground. And then all of a sudden something will just snap in their head, and you'll just get this sudden screech, and these things will come at you at like lightning speed. I mean, these, we talk about magpies swooping, but these things do travel quite a bit faster. And honestly, these go for the throat. They do try and hit you as well. They often do it more aggressively when they do have their young chicks around. So springtime again, not only are we dealing with the magpies, we're dealing with the minor birds, we are now also dealing with the plovers. But the plovers too get these unusual attachments, insofar as in the off season, sometimes they'll either have a nest or a rock or a stick or something that they've suddenly called their own. And if anybody gets too close to it, the plovers will actually try and attack you. So they're very possessive birds of material objects as well as their own chicks. And I mean, these things, John, I can't describe the screech, but they are the loudest and noisiest. It's almost like a car alarm, but it's very poignant, and you can tell when you're about to be targeted, because it just gets louder and the chirps get quicker the faster it gets to your head. So it's almost like psychological warfare with these birds, John. These ones are truly, truly nasty.
So walking in the street in Sydney, that's why I see all these people in the videos wearing bicycle helmets.
That is true. That is true. The only way to really get around any of these birds, especially this time of year, is wear bicycle helmets. And it's funnily enough, especially in the Sydney CBD, the central business district there, some office workers have taken to wearing bicycle helmets with little bits of ties, little plastic ties sticking out of them, which the magpies are really put off by, because in our central business district, we do have some buildings where plovers, where magpies have actually nested, and they do attack people on the street. And John, you can imagine there are thousands of people walking through central Sydney on any given day. These birds are relentless. They don't fatigue. They have great stamina. So people do actually go to work wearing helmets just when they get off the train, you know, not riding a bike, and have to walk just those few meters, but they face the threat of attack by bird.
Being dive bombed by a bird that knows your name is acceptable, but this next section is about reptiles. So, warning, you turn the radio down if it upsets you. A red-bellied black snake. I thought these were not common. I thought these were slow-moving. It was the brown snakes to worry about. But you've got one sitting on a windowsill. Is this common? It happens all the time.
John, this is very, very uncommon. This is very, very unusual and strange. And this happened in the suburb of Burpengary East in Brisbane, Queensland. So we're talking about a major city, and we're talking about a suburb in a major city. So this is actually nowhere near large rainforests or large amounts of vegetation. And for a red-bellied black snake to make itself available to a windowsill, or to climb up onto a windowsill and just be found there, it's strange, because these things try and hide. They stay in the grass. They try and protect themselves because they do have a lot of natural enemies like foxes and other large animals that will kill them. So for this thing to have, I guess, the guts to be able to come out in the open and actually lie on the windowsill shows that they are becoming more and more used to their environment, especially the humans in their environment. And the fact that it was found inside a home means that there's probably not just one of these around. There's probably more because they do live in families. They do live in groups. So if I was the person who owned that house right now, I'd probably be thinking about either getting the snake catcher out on speed dial regularly or at least possibly even moving, because I suspect, John, what we're seeing is a family of red-bellied black snakes have moved into the area. But the interesting thing is that they aren't common. They normally aren't common, but we have seen with the flooding, we have seen with the mice plagues over the last 3 years, these things now are everywhere. So, John, honestly, Australia just got that little bit more dangerous courtesy in the environment.
You're running down the street trying to cover up from a magpie attack or a plover attack, and suddenly you're skipping over sticks that you are fearful are an eastern brown snake. You get home, you think you're safe, you open the door, and there's a family of red-bellied black snakes. Okay. Now, if you're a beekeeper, there's one more thing to worry about, the varroa virus. Jeremy, this started some time ago. A concern, I recall it was Newcastle, is that right? Where the first, and they tried to isolate it by destroying the hives, but they didn't. Somebody drove a hive out of it. There was some illicit transfer, and now it's spreading everywhere.
That's right, John. In fact, the illicit transfer, you almost feel sorry for the people that did it, because the reason they had to move it out of Newcastle, which is, as you correctly pointed out, was the epicenter, was because they were experiencing flooding in their beehives and they were basically trying to save their business by moving them further south. But unwittingly, they actually transferred the virus. And there is some argument that they knew about the restrictions and that they shouldn't have done it, but they were really just trying to save their livelihood at the time. And what has happened now is that this varroa virus has just become an uncontrollable beast across the eastern seaboard, and the only way to deal with it is eradicating the bees. So again, we're now seeing even further through New South Wales and certainly through Queensland, and it looks like it's going to continue through Victoria, that beehives are continuing to be destroyed. The varroa virus is remaining unchecked, and it's really one of those things that you just can't eradicate with any kind of medication or fogging or any of the usual ways that you can sometimes get rid of parasites in bee populations. So honestly, John, I think the bee industry here, which is massive because of the tourism industry, and we do produce a lot of honey, it's going to be devastated, and it continues to be devastated as we learn more about this. So I know with the flooding that there is some potential as well that there will be new industries popping up in the aftermath, but I think the bee industry is probably one of those that won't be.
Jeremy Zakas in New South Wales, Sydney. We're going to my cricket lesson next, because Pakistan and England are locked in a battle. And I will learn more of this special language from Jeremy Zakas. This is the Friends of History Debating Society. I'm John Batchelor.